I don't know if any of you were around here when I was here last time, some almost 35, 40 years ago, back in the 80s. I was invited by a friend that I had met at the camp. I was leading the worship services at the camp, and he was, I think, a part of this church, he asked me if I would come, and we would do a series of sermons as a sort of a, I don't know, little revival type of a time. And at that time, I did a number of different strange things in my church. They were probably pretty glad that I left for a week or so, but I would do Bible characters, and I would come into the church all costumed and made up as a Bible character. And then the sermon would be that Bible character talking to the people today. I also did sermons in songs, so I would sing the message using different songs. I did chalk art. I don't know if you have any of you ever seen the chalk art picture? Okay, I did chalk art pictures, and they had a hidden picture that I usually did beforehand, and then I would draw in front of everybody the picture that tied to the sermon, and then I would fade the lights out on that, and you would turn on a black light, and all of a sudden the hidden picture would come bursting out for everybody to see. So I've done a lot of strange things and interesting things because, you know, I think God wants us to use the gifts that he gave me. In college, I was a theater major, and so that probably explains an awful lot for you today. But I like to do things that will keep people's attention and help them to understand the wonderful, awesome love of God and how much he loves us and what he does for us every day in miracles of faith and hope and healing. And so I'm going to read to you this morning a passage of Scripture found in the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 6. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, in which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. And Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that they may have something to eat?" Philip said, he asked Philip this just to test him, for he knew what he would do. Philip answered him and said, "Well, 200 denarii would not buy enough bread to feed every one of them. And there are many little ones too." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "Well, there's a lad over here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." There was much grass in the area, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, which when he had given thanks, he distributed them to his disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said unto the disciples, "Gather the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost." After they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. And those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This truly is the prophet who is to come into the world." I want you to imagine what life was like for Jesus. Once Jesus began his public ministry and he began to touch people's hearts with the words of God's grace and God's love and God's forgiveness, once he had touched and brought healing to somebody who was sick and needed healing of their bodies, perhaps a leper, perhaps a woman with an issue of blood, perhaps a blind man. Jesus touched many people in many different ways. Perhaps it was when they saw Jesus out on the hillside and they listened to all that he had to say. I used to go to a Bible conference in Cedar Falls every year. It was a week-long conference. And they would have speakers there who were great Bible scholars and great teachers. And you'd sit down to listen to them as they talked, and it seemed like half hour, 45 minutes, an hour would pass and you wouldn't even notice the time. Why? Because they were lifting up God's word. They were showing and telling all of us of our need for a loving Savior and of the loving Savior reaching out to us. Whatever brought all these people together, they had been following Jesus. I think Jesus wanted a little time alone, so that's why he went across the Sea of Tiberias and he went up into the hill a little bit, up on a mountain, got his disciples around him. And perhaps he just needed the quiet time. Maybe he just needed to have a little time to breathe, relax a little bit. Maybe he was having a time of prayer with his disciples. And then when he looked up, he saw all these people who had come to where he was. What was he going to do? It was getting kind of late. And he knew that it would be getting dark not too long away. And he listened and he taught the people and he said some things and taught them some messages from God, from his heavenly Father. And then as he was talking and listening, perhaps there was a big burly fellow out in the audience who listened and listened and listened, and then all you heard this as his stomach began to growl. And he kind of goes like this, trying to keep it quiet. And Jesus continues talking and teaching, and all of a sudden he hears, "I'm getting hungry," he said to his wife. "I didn't bring anything." So Jesus asked Philip, "How will we feed these people?" Now Philip was kind of good with math. And he knew that Jesus didn't have a lot of money because he was relying always on the Father's provision for him and for his disciples. And so Philip said, looked at the crowd and he goes, "Oh boy, there's a lot of people out there, Jesus. I bet there's 5,000 men sitting out there, and that doesn't even count the women and children. If we used 200 denarii," now a denarii was a day's wage. He said, "If we used 200 denarii, we would just barely get enough to buy enough for them to just get a little teeny piece of bread." "Can't do it, Jesus. Don't have the money. You can't get it." And then all of a sudden, Andrew was Simon Peter's brother. And Andrew was a person who always had his eyes open to people who needed to come to Jesus. He was always sharing good news, but he wasn't one of those that was making a big scene. He wasn't a Simon Peter out there where everybody knew who he was. But Andrew was looking around and he thought of all these people and all the hunger that was going on inside of their bodies. And then suddenly he saw a young boy over there. Young boy was holding a little satchel that his mother had prepared him with a little lunch. 5 barley loaves, like a little muffin, and 2 small fish. That was going to be his lunch. And as Andrew looked around, he saw that young man. I can imagine Andrew kind of going, as he walks over and sort of stands by the young boy. And that big fella out in the crowd, "I'm really getting hungry," he said. Jesus said, "What are we going to do?" And Andrew looks at that young boy and says, "Hey, there's a little boy over here that has his lunch. He has, what do you have for lunch?" I can imagine that little boy going, "Mine. My mom made it for me. I have 5 little barley loaves and 2 fish. Mine." Andrew says, "Oh, I wouldn't take your lunch. I know your mom made that for you because she didn't want you to go hungry. Would you like to meet Jesus?" I imagine him saying. "Yeah," the little boy said. "I'd like to meet Jesus." He said, "Well, come with me. I'll take you up to meet him." So he grabs the little boy by the hand and they walk together through the crowd, and he's holding on to his lunch. And he gets up there and he sees Jesus, and Jesus says, "Hi, how are you?" And the little boy is so excited that Jesus, this great teacher, this person who'd done so many miracles and he'd heard about them and maybe even seen them himself, he said, "Hi." And then he said, "Jesus, would you like my lunch?" Now, so the little boy was not so much concerned about himself, but about Jesus. He had something he could give to Jesus, because Jesus had been giving so much to them. And I imagine Jesus looking at that little boy and said to him, "Do you really want me to have your lunch?" And the little boy looked at his lunch and he looked at Jesus and he says, "Yes, I want you to have my lunch." And Jesus said to that little boy in my imagination, he says, "Well, if you really want me to have your lunch, then you give it to me. Hand it to me." And the little boy looked at his lunch and he looked at Jesus and he said, "Here, it's yours." And Jesus looked at the little boy and he said, "Thank you so much. Why don't you sit down right there?" And the little boy sat down right at the front with all the other people sitting around. And what I want you to get is that when the little boy offered his meal to Jesus, Jesus took what the little boy offered. It wasn't much. Not in worldly terms, it wasn't a big meal. But it was what the little boy had. And he was willing to give. My friends, I want you to understand, God knows our resources. He knows our needs. And he is willing to take whatever we freely give to him and use it. Not only for the crowd, but for the one who gave, the little boy. And it tells us in the scripture that Jesus lifted up the bread and he lifted up the fish and he gave thanks. And that is his way of drawing attention, not just to the food, but to the source of life. The giver of life, the giver of every blessing to God, his Father. And so as he lifted up that food, that small little loaves of bread and those small fishes that the little boy had given, he told the disciples, "Tell the people to sit down." And I can imagine the disciples going, "What? Tell the crowd to sit down.
Hey, Jesus, it's getting late. Don't you think you ought to send them home?"
He invited the crowd to be seated. He had given thanks to the Father. And I don't know how and exactly it was that he did that, but I know that he somehow took one of those loaves of barley loaves and having blessed it, he broke it. And then there was more. And he broke it again. And there was more and he broke it again. And he gave some of the fragments to the disciples and he said, "Here, take these and give them to the people." I imagine the disciples going, "Well, this is going to be a short lunch." But they took it and they took what he gave them. And Jesus did it again. He broke the bread and he gave it to the disciples. And every time he seemed to break it, it seemed to multiply. It just grew and grew and grew. And every time he passed it on to another disciple. And now soon all of the disciples have hands full of bread. And they're told to take it to the crowd of people. And so they begin to take it and pass it away. And perhaps they said, "Here, have some." And the people would take and grab a chunk and think, "Oh, boy. Oh, here. And they would then pass it to the next person. And the disciples would watch that bread. Every time it was broken, it multiplied. And those who were being fed found themselves having more than they could eat. Same with the fish. As he broke the fish, they seemed to multiply, and the people had bread and fish more than enough to eat. Now, there are those who want to say, "Well, I don't believe in miracles. I think those people had their own lunch, and they just didn't want everybody eating their lunch, and so they just hid it. And then when Jesus started passing stuff around, I think they pulled out their own lunch and ate that." That isn't what happened, is it? What happened was God was working a miracle. A miracle for all to see that God is the source of all that we need. He is the one who can feed our hungry hearts, hungry souls, our minds, our spirits. And he wants everyone to understand that he can take the gifts that we have, those small gifts, if they're freely given, and he can multiply them and use them to bless multitudes of people. I don't know about you. In our house, we get a lot of mail. Organizations needing help. And we wonder sometimes, you know, I don't have very much to give. I'm retired now. And so I have Social Security and small pension. And not every time do we give something to every single organization because they come four or five at a time. But sometimes we'll write a check. It's not a very big check, but it's a gift. And as we give that check and as I place it in the mailbox, I say, Jesus, this is yours. I give it to you. Multiply it. Use it to meet the needs of those who are hurting. And I put it in the mail, and I trust Jesus to do the rest. It's like that little boy's lunch. I believe Jesus can take offerings and take what we give to him, which seems small. But when God is in it, my friends, small is much in God's hands. So Jesus took what was freely given. Now I want you to think to yourself, you know, Jesus, I don't see a picture. Oh, there it is right there. See a picture of Jesus standing at the door and knocking, don't you? Bible tells us Jesus stands at the doors and knocks, and anyone hears his voice and opens the door, he will come into them. It's up with them. But I want you to notice something about the picture. If you look, there is no doorknob, only a keyhole. You see, Jesus can knock, but he will not force himself on anyone. He knocks and wants to come in and touch our hearts and our lives and draw us close to his heavenly Father to be a blessing just as he was with those loaves and fishes. But he will knock until we ask him in, till we invite him into our hearts, into our minds, into our lives. He waits. He knocks. And when he opens, when we open the door, because the only doorknob was inside the house. If you didn't have the key to undo the latch, then you had to wait for somebody on the inside to open the door. That's the way it is with our lives, isn't it? We can close ourselves off and leave God on the outside, though he's knocking and wanting to be a part of our lives. The promise is that he will come in. And he will bring for us, like I said in the children's story, he will take all of our sins and wash them away. He will bless us in ways beyond our imagination. So remember, Jesus took the little boy's meal. He blessed it. Gave God thanks. When we seem to have so little, do we still give thanks to God for what we have? And do we commit it to him, trusting that he will provide for our needs? He took it. He blessed it. He broke it. Sometimes, my friends, in our lives, God has to break us. He has to break us of bad habits. He has to somehow get us so that we're willing to surrender our whole being to him and do with us what he will. Just like that small loaf of bread. To be broken. Are you and I willing to do that? We may be willing to say, okay, Jesus, come on into my house. Come on into my life. I invite you in. But you sit over there and I'll just manage the rest. But when Jesus comes in, he doesn't come in to just be a guest. He comes in to be the Lord of the house. He wants us to be willing to give all of ourselves to him. Jesus took the little gift of the bread and wine and fish. He blessed it. He broke it. And then he gave to the disciples the awesome privilege of taking that which he had dedicated to God. And he gave them the opportunity to take it and share it with others. You see, if you've been touched by God, if you have felt Jesus Christ knocking at the door of your heart, If you have asked him in and willingly said to him, Lord, I want you to be not a guest in my heart, I want you to be Lord of my heart. Whatever you want, Lord, here I am. The disciples had the privilege of sharing what God had given to them through Jesus. And the interesting thing is this, when everybody was full, when everybody had their fill, who came empty and were now full, Jesus said to his disciples, now, take these baskets and go around and gather up the crumbs that are left. And as they passed themselves through the crowd, they gave the extra pieces that they were too full to eat. And they put them in the baskets. It tells us in our passage of scripture that when they all got done with all of the eating and all of the gathering of the fragments in the baskets, there were 12 baskets full of crumbs, pieces of the bread, parts of the fish. They brought them up to Jesus. And I, my mind's imagination isn't in the scripture. In my mind's imagination, I think of Jesus and I see him say, hey, come here. He's talking to that little boy. Come here. He says, open your satchel. And the little boy opens this satchel and I picture Jesus just pouring in bread. I see him giving them fishes more than his mother gave, to the point that he had an abundance that he could take home. And I imagine in my mind's imagination, after Jesus dismissed the crowd, because now they were full, they would have the strength they needed to go their way. They will have the lesson that God provides, that God cares to guide their footsteps. I imagine then, as the people dispersed to go to their own homes, and the little boy just carried his lunch. Maybe it was almost too heavy to carry. I don't know. But as he carried that home, and he got in the house and he showed his mom, Mom, look what Jesus did. I gave him the lunch you gave me, and he's given us more, enough to feed us for a whole week, Mom. This Jesus is special, isn't he? And his mother said, yes, yes, honey. He is that prophet God promised. But he's more than a prophet, isn't he? He's a Savior who loves us, who cares for us, who wants us to invite him in to be Lord of our lives and then submit ourselves and all that we have to him, for him to use for his glory. But there's never going to be a shortage of his gift back to us. He always gives more back than we can give. Have you trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you had the faith enough to realize that he stands at the door of our hearts and minds and knocks? Have you been willing to open the door to your life, your home, your family? Say, Jesus, come in. Come in and make this your home. And have we been willing to say and listen to Jesus when he says, now, go share what you've received.